didn't get to shake everybody's hand today, so if I missed you, I'm sorry. Come back tonight, maybe we'll get it done, all right? And that was good, ladies. That was really good. They made a joyful sound unto the Lord that was... at the end of the song service or at the end of the special, are you out of breath? Think about that. You should be flat out of breath. You should be, get to the pulpit like I am right now, breathing hard. Coming up the steps? No, from singing so loud. It is well with my soul. I love that song. Amen. That was perfect. And in fact, it was perfect for the sermon today and as well as the special music. Man, that was good. Are that ladies going to sing again tonight? I might come back if they're going to sing tonight. It was very good. So I thank you, and I just want to greet you all. Man, it's good. It filled right in here for the morning service. There's not a lot of extra room, preacher, but I think if you'd invited somebody and brought them with you, we'd have made room for them. Amen. Amen. So, all right. Well, let's look at some scripture here this morning. Romans chapter 3. I'm just going to say it ahead of time. These are some of the richest verses in the Bible on salvation that we have. Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to read down there in verse 20, down through the end of the chapter. And I'm so glad that you're here today, and I have had a wonderful day so far. The Lord has just been so good to us. And since we've been here last time, we have definitely put some miles on our bodies as well as our motorhome and cars, and the Lord has just kept us going. Other than, let's see, did I tell you about the motorhome being on fire since I was here last time? Oh, I didn't tell you about that? I'll have to do that, and I'm not going to tell you now. I'll tell you later. This is pulpit time. This is preaching time. Romans chapter 3, are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right, here we go. Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Boy, there's a nut, there's a truth right there, isn't it? How plain is that? But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set before to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? I'm glad, amen. Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Did you notice how many times in that passage of Scripture we've seen the word faith mentioned? This passage of Scripture is talking about salvation and so much more. But faith, it's faith, and it's just not. It says there in verse 20, verse 30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, there it is, and the uncircumcision through faith. It's faith for us all, amen, whether we're Jews or whether we're Gentiles. We've seen there in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith without the deeds of the law. All the way through that chapter, faith. Where's yours at this morning? Where's your faith? Let's look at this a little deeper. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you again for the privilege of being back with friends. See some new faces, some that have been here faithfully every time. Lord, we ask you to speak to us through your word here this morning. Lord, forgive me where I failed. You use this time, challenge, encourage each and every one of us that's here. Be with the needs, the desires of the church, and Lord, I just pray that you'd keep this place going on, reaching the community, just doing our part and as with your help to get the gospel out, as well as to help the needs of those that are in need. Lord, please, please, please speak to us. We'll thank you and give you the praise and glory here this morning for this all. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this passage of Scripture. Like I said, it's some of the deepest verses and richest passages of Scripture on salvation in the Bible. And I'm sure many of you know a part of it, maybe even have some of it memorized, the Romans Road being in part of it here. And I'm just going to give you ahead of time what I want you to get from this. If you grab something this morning here, this is what it would be. As we look at this, I hope that you can see Him, Jesus Christ. Obviously, this passage is talking about Him. I hope you can see Jesus Christ as being the just and the justifier. Amen? And I hope as we look at this also that you can see that you can be justified through Him. Amen? And hopefully you are justified already here this morning. If not, I pray that you will be convicted and motivated to deal with that here. There are people that are prepared, ready to open Scripture with you, pray for you, answer some questions so that you can be justified here this morning and be part of this passage of Scripture. And then I hope also as we look at this morning that you would be not only motivated to know this fact and to settle it for yourself, but be willing to get busy and share the gospel with others. Amen? To busy declare the gospel, this message right here. So I hope that's what you can see. It's in Christ. And Paul here, he's writing like an attorney, and he's kind of getting some, those beginning statements and those final statements in there, kind of like how a lawyer does it. You been in court lately? I got a court summons this week. I got to be there the 15th. And I thought they only made you do that once a year. They just did it. When was it? July or something? They must be desperate. When they find out I'm a Baptist preacher, they probably won't let me do it anyway. But they want me in court bad. We heard some gunshots. Somebody was murdered on a piece of property next door to us, and I heard the shots. And they tried to get me in on that. They want me in court bad. But here, Paul, he's hope I don't have to get an attorney. Where's Paul when I need him, right? But Paul here, he's writing, and I believe Paul was very qualified to write here. And I want you to just hear, here's these beginning statements, and I don't know what they call them, and then the end of them. We find, look there in verse 20. Here, I'm just going to give you the two ends here. He said in verse 20, you see the word therefore? It means he's already accomplished, he's already said a bunch of things, and he's coming down here, and he's given this nutshell, this statement, and he says there, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Talking about God's sight there, not everybody else's sight, not your neighbor's sight, not your anybody else's. In God's sight, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Ten Commandments, the Word of God, we know God's got a law out there, right? And the purpose of that law is so that we know we're a sinner. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Amen? And then go down there to verse 28, and we find another therefore. Look at it. I kind of like to name this. It's got a whole bunch of titles for this sermon. Maybe one of them would be therefore to therefore, right? Here's these two statements, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Isn't that good? Here are these two. Let's just read them together, verse 20 and 28. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Isn't that good? Amen. Man, you got it settled? Yes, sir. We just sang the song, it is well with my soul. You know how you get well with your soul? Is to get justified. Get this settled here. The therefores, amen? There he is. So we're going to look at this a little bit. Paul writing like an attorney. I believe he was qualified to do that. Over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5, we see there describing Paul. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. And we know Paul got that all Saul got that all squared away. And he's writing here to us. I think he knew what he was talking about. Not only that, but it was verbally inspired by the word of God. Paul got to pen it. Amen. And I know Paul also, he's writing here. We could read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4 there. Paul writes this, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul is saying, not only am I teaching this, this is not only what I know, this is not what I'm giving to you, but this is also what I believe. I've got it settled, amen. He says, I delivered it unto you first of all that which I also received. Amen. Paul was a believer here. And he says how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. That passage in 1 Corinthians goes down and talks about the 500 witnesses and others and glory. We know the facts as well, don't we? Amen? Paul, I believe, was qualified to write about the resurrected Savior here. He knew what he was talking about. The therefore. We find this and already established. But verse 20 there. Let's go back to it again. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, you're not working for salvation. Has anybody kept all the Ten Commandments? Maybe I should ask, anybody broke them all? Yeah. Well, I might get more hands on that one than the first one, amen? Yeah. Because if are you a sinner and you know it? Amen? Yeah. Go back to chapter 3 and verse 10. Right here along the same line, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Boy, that makes it certain, doesn't it? Not one. No, not one. So it's easy to say, well, I haven't. No, the Lord makes it very plainly. No, not one. That's like to you if you're thinking you're okay. No, not even you. That's kind of personal, isn't it? What, me? Yes, you. There is. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. No, instead the Lord seeking for you, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and me, no, not one. Amen. We're the lost ones, and the Lord is looking for us, amen. It's just not the natural man is not looking for God. He's looking for us. He came to this earth looking for us. He came here to make this. Christ came for us. Therefore, to the therefore. Hey, we're all equal here, aren't we? We're on the same page here. I'm in the gray, you're in the black. No, there's none of that here today. No, not one. We're all sinners. We all have a need. We've all messed up. We've all went against the law. God gave us the law. There shall no flesh be justified in his sight by keeping the law. You got to remember who this is written to. It's no different than us. How many people you know today that say, well, I'm working my way to heaven, or I haven't done anything that bad. No, not one. I'm not that bad. Well, look at them. Well, no, we ought to just look in the, there's more mirror. How many mirrors are in your house? Do you good to look in the mirror once in a while? It do you good once in a while to look in the Word of God and let it reflect on you too, amen? You know what it's going to come up and show you? No, not one. We're in bad English. We ain't no good. Amen. We just ain't no good. And until you realize that, you're not going to fix a problem until you realize you got a problem. And that's what the law is there to do. You know, we had a perfect God write perfect laws, amen? You understand what that means? He can do that, and they're perfect because he is perfect. We recognize God, we can recognize God himself in that he put the law in place for us. That just proves he's perfect, amen? The law proves him perfect, and it proves us not. Amen. We have a need. We all have a need. It's obvious we have a need. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, it's nothing that you can do. We all messed up. We did that pretty good, didn't we? Therefore, that by the deeds of the law, man, you can't get to heaven on your own. You can't be forgiven on your own. We needed the Savior. The passage is about the Savior. Very plainly there, the last half of verse 20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know, people that don't believe or read the Bible or look at it, or the young child that hasn't had been in a Sunday school class or junior church, they don't necessarily see their need, do they? Yeah. until they get up there and realize or get heard or see her, or then they say, oh, no, what? That's why we need to do what we need to do. We need to declare this truth. So let's read on here. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The little word all there, by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's talking about us all right there. We all fall into that category. Yet, if you still think, if you're still sitting here thinking that you're okay, you haven't done anything that bad, or maybe even I'll settle it later, you're in trouble. You're in big, serious trouble. And it shouldn't be well with your soul. And if you've heard the truth, it's probably not well with your soul until you get it settled. Therefore, to the therefore. Aren't you glad that it just doesn't stop there? Aren't you glad there? Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory. Separated us from God, didn't it? That we sin, that's what reconciliation is, to be put back in union with God. And doesn't mention the word there, but that's what this is being talked about. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we find verse 24, amen? Being justified freely. Justified, yeah. That's what we need, to be justified. We have to be justified. Being justified, how much? What's the price here? Simple little passage of Scripture, isn't it? We're a sinner, but there's something that's been done about us being a sinner. And that's Jesus Christ. Being justified freely by His grace, or freely by His grace through the redemption. Just tells us, sir, the Lord, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. No other way. Makes it so plainly here. You're not going to get forgiveness. You're not going to get saved. You're not going to be forgiveness on anything that you can do on your own. You're a guilty sinner, but Jesus Christ, the only way, doesn't say there's three ways, four ways, five ways. It just says through Jesus Christ, being justified freely, there's the price. By the way, somebody paid the price, and that's Jesus Christ that paid the price. Boy, you remember being sometimes as a young person and think you had everything coming to you? Remember that? Well, sometimes people still do think that way. But no, somebody paid a price for everything that you have. Someone paid a price for our freedom. Some people are still paying a price. Some people paid the price for this building to be in here. Someone paid the price, paying the price for the furnace to be on, the lights to be on. Amen? Did anybody do anything to get into this world in the first place? No, you owe a debt. We all have salvation, we owe a debt. And salvation, someone paid a price for it. And that was God the Son of God, came down to this, willingly came down to this earth, born of a virgin, willingly went to Calvary, died, buried, rose from the grave, His blood sprinkled on the mercy seat so that we could be forgiven. There's not a thing that we can do, but He did it all for us already. It's what this is talking about, being justified freely. We know Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through, and that not of yourselves. There it is right there. You can't. The law just points out that we're a sinner. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. How much does a gift cost? Someone paid for your gift. And a gift is something you just have to reach out and accept. Amen? And that's what salvation is for you. Paid in full doesn't mean that you've accepted it and opened it up. Do you still have any Christmas presents under the tree from last year? No, you took them, didn't you? And you opened them up and you've already broke them all. And now you need new ones this year. Amen? It's a gift. You had to accept. You had to, I believe this is my gift. I believe it's for me. I'm going to accept it. Didn't do anything to get it? Boy, if somebody gives you a gift, you got to do anything to keep it? How silly are people that believe you can lose your salvation? Somebody's going to give you a gift and take it back? What kind of person is that? Not honest. Honest God, amen. Freely gift, offered you salvation. Am I in the right place? Therefore, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that He redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, amen. Ought to be busy talking about it. There it is. That is in Christ Jesus, Him alone. Look over in the next chapter, chapter 4, verses 25, kind of another nutshell here. Who, talking about Jesus here, Romans chapter 4, verse 25, who, Jesus Christ, who was delivered. What does delivered mean? Full cycle there, amen. Delivered. It goes on and explains it. Who was delivered for our offenses. Remember, we're all the sinners. The law told us that. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He's a risen Savior. He's been delivered, amen. And He's been delivered for us, amen. And that blood's been, His blood, His sinless blood has been sprinkled on the mercy seat for us. We're delivered through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, not by deeds of the law. Paul's saying, I know this is simple, people don't get it, but this is the truth. This is what I'm telling you, this is what I'm teaching you, and this is what I believe. Amen? What are we doing with it all? Let me go on here, verse 25. Who God has set forth to be a propitiation, talking about Jesus Christ, be a propitiation through faith in His blood. There it is. To declare His righteousness. Whose righteousness? Jesus Christ's righteousness. Amen? For the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Well, this is a great thing here for us because we've all messed up here, amen? That word, lawyer term here, we're guilty of something but having the penalty paid for. That's justified. Justified. Righteous in Him because of what He's done for us, what He paid for us. Just a simple passage of Scripture. Again, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. There's that word again. Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Look at what Paul's writing here. He says, to declare. Paul's declaring it. Declare means to, I wrote it down here, declare means to, I've got it back over here. Declare means to make it clear or plain. It's to mean to spread. It means to make known. It means to publish. It means to proclaim. It means to affirm. That's what he's doing here, isn't he? He's affirming. He said, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. You know what he's talking about? He's saying, God is righteous. Jesus Christ is righteous. We're talking about His righteousness. I declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Boy, that makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? Now, I started out by saying that I want us to see, and this passage of Scripture teaches us and shows us that Jesus Christ is just and that He is the justifier. And if you see there in verse 26, Paul's declaring this. The Word of God is declaring this. And by the way, that's what we are supposed to be doing, is declaring this. It says here, I say, verse 26, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just. Did you know that's one of Jesus' names, is just? That's one of His names. See, He's the just, and He's the justifier. Let me just give you some quick, over in Acts chapter, hold your finger there, we're going to come back. Over in the book of Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, here we find Peter, and he's talking to the people there. Acts chapter 3, verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The miracle had happened there, and they're looking at Paul, or they're looking at Peter, and I think John's here as well, and they're saying, wow, look at what he just did. And Paul said, Peter said, it's not me. It's not through my power or holiness that this man was healed. He goes on, verse 13, it says, the God of Abraham, they understood this, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up. Boy, he gets his little jab and says, yeah, this is the guy you guys don't believe in. And he's the one that did this healing, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And then now look at verse 14. But ye denied the holy, how many? One? Capital letters there? Woo, yeah. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just. Is it capitalized right there? One of Jesus' names. He's the Just. He's the Just. And desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life. There's another one of his names, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Isn't that good? There, one of Jesus' names is the Just. The Just. And back in our scripture, Romans chapter 3, verse 26 again, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, amen, and the justifier. There is the justifier. Oh, we find over in 1 Peter, keep your finger there, we're going to go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, we're just looking at Jesus' name here for a minute or two. Peter, I'm getting there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18. And it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the who? The oh, guess who that might be talking about? He's the just, and we are the unjust. The unjust needs the just. Amen? And he was what? Once suffered. How many times did he go to Calvary? How many times did he pay that sin debt? One time. For Christ, obviously we know who this is talking about, amen? For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, reconciliation, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, amen? Woo, glory! There is the just. And not only is he the just, back in Romans chapter 26, that he might be just and the justifier. Oh, does it sound like someone has a need there? Us being unjust, him being the just. He's the only one that can be the justifier. Right. Amen. 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 Let me just give you the statement. Just one, just one. How about that? There's not two just ones, there's only one. And if we need to be justified, we have to get justified through the just one. Amen? Amen. Only one way to get saved. Amen? Right. And that's what he did. The just for the unjust. He did it for us. That's what Paul's declaring, man. That's what we're supposed to be declaring. Right. He affirmed it, and we ought to be out there doing the same thing. To declare, I say at this time, that he might be the just and the justifier of who? Of him which believeth in Jesus. Well, glory. That's we kind of play right into that a little bit, don't we? There he is, the just, and we're the unjust. Let me give you some definitions here of the word just. This is what he is. It means, just means innocent. Was he innocent? Amen. Did the Lamb go to Calvary for us? Amen? Yes. He was innocent. Just means innocent. Blameless. Was he blameless? Amen? Amen. Are we innocent? No, we're unjust. Are we blameless? No, we're unjust. But he is just. He's innocent. He's blameless. Without guilt. Who'd stand up here and say, I'm without guilt here this morning? No, we're unjust. Paul was unjust. And he knew it. And that's what he's declaring. And this is what we're supposed to be declaring. It means innocent, blameless, without guilt. Perfect. That's what he is. Sinless. That's what he is. Still is, amen. He's righteous. Those are all things we're not. We need to be forgiven. We need to be justified. And we're going to get justified through the just one. Just one way. The word justifier. Here he is the just and the justifier. Justified means, or justifier means one who justifies. Well, that's not too complicated, is it? One who vindicates, one supports or defends. Isn't that what he does? He who pardons and absolves from guilt and punishment. That's what a justifier does. That's what he did. That's what he's doing. What does the word absolves mean? You know, we go to the court and we want to have our sentence absolved. I'm thinking I'm saying the right word. What does it mean? Erased away, gone, clean. Nobody sees it. It's supposed to be gone and nobody sees it. Amen. Amen. We have an honest God. Amen. Buried in the deepest sea. Amen. Isn't that him? Amen. He can do that. That's what a justifier does. It's erased. It's gone. It's under the blood. He's the just. That means he's perfect, honest, sinless, not going to change tomorrow. No, he's just. And he can be, and he is the justifier. Let's read on here a little bit. That he might be the just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? Notice the question mark. Where's the boasting then? It is excluded. Well, we understand that, don't we? What business do we have letting the pride creep up and say, I worked a little bit for my salvation. I'm working to keep my salvation. I wasn't really all that bad, but yeah, I went ahead and got saved anyway. Oh, really? Where's the boasting then? Do we have any business at all thinking that we did anything at all? Or no, if anything, it ought to make us be ready to tell somebody else about it. Amen? Amen. There he is. Where is the boasting then? Huh. The only thing we can be proud of and boast about is our Savior. Right. Amen? Amen. Need to be careful. So it goes on and says, where's the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, we can't work for salvation. We can't do anything. No, but he says, nay, but by the law of faith. God's law by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's the law, amen. Is he the God of the Jews only? Verse 29, is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. We're all. And we all can be saved, seeing as one God which shall justify. What does he do there? Seeing as one God which shall justify. Who needs to be justified? All of us sinners. We need to be just. Remember, he's the just. And he's the justifier. So he can do the justify. He's just one way. Seeing there's one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. We have a need here, don't we? We have a need to be justified. So here we go. Verse 28, back to the therefores again. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. Justified. We have the need here. We need to be justified. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 28, therefore we conclude. Here Paul's brought it down. Amen. Here, Brother Marvin's bringing it down. Word of God's bringing it down. He's the just. He's the justifier. And now where we are is in verse 28 here. Therefore we conclude. Did I hear an amen out there? Brother Marvin just said he concluded. Amen. Therefore we conclude that a man is what? Is that you? Is that you here this morning? We know who the just one is. We know he's the one that does the justifying. He's justifying through him. And we know he's the justifier. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I started out by saying, I hope you can see Jesus Christ as the just. Just one, just one. I hope you can see him as the justifier. Amen. And I hope you can see yourself as being justified. And there's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John chapter 14. Amen. One way. Just one. We're all sinners. We can't do anything about it except trust Jesus Christ and be justified through him. We read over there in chapter 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses, for our sin, and was raised again for our, what is the word? Justification. Being justified. Man, the passage makes it very plain. We're a sinner in need. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's the just one, the justifier, and we need to be justified. We need to be justified. Justified, this is what the word in the dictionary means. A person or sinner that by God's grace is pardoned from being a sinner and accepted by God through the atonement of the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you're there. No pride allowed. No pride allowed here. We're guilty. Lawyer sums it up. He concludes, a man is justified by faith, not by works, not by keeping law, because none of us can do it. You know, if we're not careful, we'll play God. We'll tell ourselves and others something different than God says. God says we play the part of being the justifier sometimes, don't we? That sin's not that bad. I didn't do anything that bad. We can even tell some other people, God understands all that. We need to be careful that we're not playing God and trying to play the justifier. Well, there's a lot of man-made religions out there where they play God and they act like they can do the justifying. We need to be careful in our own life that if the Word of God says one thing is sin and we play the justifier and say, oh no, God will understand, it's not that bad. Well, we can use what the devil gives you, any kind of excuse you want to play justifier when we're not the one to play justifier. Well, glory. Declare. What do we need to do? We read there, Paul declared, and we need to declare his righteousness. We find there in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. God's declaring his righteousness. Amen? And that's what we need to be busy doing, is declaring his righteousness. Verse 24, verse 26, Paul, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. God declared Jesus' righteousness. Paul declared Jesus' righteousness. And we ought to at least get busy declaring his righteousness, shouldn't we? I hope you can see the just one. I hope you can see the justifier. I hope you can see yourself as the justified. And I hope you can see the need of others, the need of us to declare the fact that others need to be justified as well. Amen? They need to see the need. We need to be wise about it. Jesus, what are you busy declaring? Let me just meddle for a moment. You know, I've heard a lot of different things this morning. I don't remember hearing anybody ask about whether I watched a ball game or sports over the weekend. I didn't hear that one time here. But what do we do the rest of the week? What are we busy declaring? Are we busy declaring how many fish I caught? I mean, it's okay to talk to each other in fellowship and compare things and everything, but our focus should be on declaring Jesus Christ.